vacations to Colorado, and I would always feel closer to God, the divine, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. outside.
Yeah.
Then it wasn't whether somebody wanted red carpet or gold carpet, and that, you know, people having all this division in the church mm-hmm. about what it really meant to be Christian.
Yeah.
And I could, you know, I could go outside and sit on a hill and feel very spiritual and not worry about whether somebody was mad at me for how I dressed that day, or it, the people that I watch come in here that only get something if it's Christian. And
how do you finagle that into the box that you wanted to...
Well, you know, I look at everything in the store is energy
mm-hmm.
and made by God.
Okay.
If you're going to believe it follows that path,
mm-hmm.
if God created everything, everything in the store was created by Him or her or both.
Whatever you want to...
Or whatever you want to call it. It, you know, it's the divine to me. I am pagan.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to just follow that much more naturally. I was told when I started studying it that if it was a path that was right for you, it would mm-hmm. feel a lot like coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And it did.
It did.
Yeah. No, I didn't mm-hmm. feel, I didn't feel the hypocrisy anymore. I
mm-hmm.
didn't, and I, solitary practitioner, so for a very long time, no one even knew.
Okay.
It was just something that it was, you know, very quiet, very personal, very mine.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew, including my family. My husband knew, but mm-hmm. not much until I opened the store 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I was told that my broom closet suddenly had great big windows and I could no longer hide.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying the very first time somebody ever walked into the shop and said, "You're a witch." It's the label I give myself,
yeah.
but it was very disconcerting to have somebody that I didn't know come in and just say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I froze for a minute. And, well, yeah, you are. So, own it. So that's what I said. Yeah, I am. How can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of what I feel my path is. It's what this store does. It helps people.
Mm-hmm.
They come here, they feel more peaceful. They feel more at ease. They don't feel judged. They don't feel anything other than peace. I have people that frequently come in here, cock their head to one side and say, "I never want to leave." Well, I've done my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I think people should have. And I don't care what faith they are. I want them to have that same feeling. I don't want people to come in and be afraid.
Yeah.
They're candles. You know, what do? Well, you light them. They illuminate a room.
Mm.
If you are of that spiritual path, whatever spiritual path that is, I noticed that Catholics burn a lot of candles as well. I've noticed candles in just about every faith I've seen.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them all. Like to, that'd be cool, but maybe you can tell me more about it.
Well, I mean, they definitely play a big part in my like childhood religion, which is Judaism. You know, every Friday you light the two candles.
Right,
so.
Right. So yeah, but they provide
a blessing.
Yeah, exactly. I find not much difference between spells and prayers.
Yeah,
it's your intention. It's your spoken intention to bring something about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think words have power, and I don't think people pay enough attention to that. Because I think a lot of things get spoken into existence that shouldn't be.
Mm.
And I think if I do teach a class, it will be very much on the power of words,
mm-hmm.
the power of intention. You know, the coming away from the magic has to, you know, have us, you know, an altar and candles and all of the accoutrements.
Yeah.
That it can be nothing more than just the spoken word. Mm-hmm. You're speaking something into existence. You're giving energy to something, and something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And whether you wanted it to go wrong or not, something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you need to have personal responsibility. People come in and they say that, you know, people that practice witchcraft worship the devil. Well, I don't really know any pagans that believe in a devil. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that there is some entity out there that forces me to do bad things. Mm-hmm. I think the divine gave me free will. And I get up in the morning and I can choose to do good things, or I can choose to do horrible things. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's my responsibility. Mm-hmm. I believe in karma. I believe that I'll have to answer for that. And it's not anybody else's fault other than mine. So, you know, people want to make magic white or magic black. And I think it just is. It's just magic, like it's just energy. Mm-hmm. And it flows in whatever path it gets fed on.
And it's kind of going on all the time, it seems like.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah.
I don't spell cast a lot. I really don't feel a need to do that, but I practice magic every day. Mm. Everything I say, every person I help, everything that goes on, mm-hmm. is part of it. Mm. So I'm a little unconventional in the way that I think, because I think I've kind of taken from many paths and made my own nice little nest for myself.
Well, I have heard from some people and read, like, over the years that as you get more advanced, for some people, more advanced in terms of, you know, you have years under your belt of sort of, mm-hmm. doing this, some of the sort of the accoutrements, like you say, sort of like fall away and you get more kind of elemental in your approach.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use as many tools and things, and it becomes more of a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that to be the case. Yeah. Did you start out with more stuff?
I think, you know, when you start reading the books, you go, oh, that, but it's because it sounds cool and fun and shiny, like a new pair of shoes to go with an outfit, you know, and, oh, well, I have to have this and I have to have that, and, oh, the ingredient list says that I, you know, must have these things. Well, mm-hmm. no.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Mm-hmm. A wise person uses what they have, so mm-hmm. you start learning that. So you do fall away from the tools, and that's what they are. They help. I think they help people that are just starting out, because, and whatever path that is, you know, whether it's folding your hands in prayer or lighting a candle to say a blessing, mm-hmm. or whatever it is you're doing, it helps focus your energy. It helps focus your intention. Draws you back into what it is that you're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it very much is very helpful for people all the way along if that's what they need. I certainly don't begrudge anybody the use of tools.
Mm-hmm.
I've found that I don't need as many anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of glad it helps save money that way. But, you know, it is what it is. And I certainly don't think anybody that doesn't do it my way is wrong.
So do you have a sort of a personal focus on, I mean, your store is called The Herb Charmer. Do you have sort of a personal connection with
plants
and herbs? Yeah.
Yeah, I love probably a frustrated botanist at heart that never took any of the right classes because I was a music major.
So, oh, cool.
So, you know, pretty much I can ask you if you want fries with that, but sing it maybe, but
exactly. You can teach us all music theory.
Behind
the counter.
No. Those were the worst classes. Those were my 7 o'clock classes.
Oh. I can just imagine your training at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Now, luckily I grew up with a father who really liked classical music, so it wasn't quite as hard because I've been brought up with it.
But, were you a singer or are you a singer? Okay. That was your main sort of instrument?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Piano, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Loved psychology. Liked religion. Mm-hmm. So ended up here. And that was by accident as well. This was not on purpose. This was a girlfriend of mine that had a store in town, was in the Army, active duty, mm-hmm. and I don't know quite how she thought she was going to run a shop during the week and have a full-time day job. I'm not quite sure why that made sense to her, but it did, and she opened the shop and then found out subsequently that that doesn't work. So she decided to close the shop up and mm-hmm. move to parts unknown out east, and she goes, "You'd be perfect." "At what?" She goes, "You should have a shop." And I'm like, "I don't know. That's very scary, because then people would know who I am." Mm-hmm. And I'm very used to being very quiet about it, because mm-hmm. I don't wish to push my beliefs on anybody. Mm-hmm. So it was very scary to have the shop. It's fun, and I've met a lot of really amazing people. There is a very large pagan community in this town that has so far been under rocks, not wanting to come out because of the fear of being judged or, you know, having negative public opinion against them. So it was quite interesting to listen to all of the people that wanted to see if they could use the back door to the shop that I had so that no one would see them, that they wouldn't lose their job, you know, and to have that type of pressure, I would imagine was very hard, and so I suddenly felt silly about being worried about being the person standing out front, because I thought, well, if I can help give them a little bit of security and knowing that there's someplace that they can go and feel accepted, and I think that's awesome.
And were these people, were they in the Army or were
all
they
over the place?
Just from
everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere. That working in every job, every section of this town.
Okay.
Just, you know, people would come in and everybody says pretty much the same thing. I can't believe a store like this exists.
I sort of can't, but I was surprised that it was just, like, here on this main drag, you know, just right here
I am.
In Leavenworth.
In this
Army town on this main drag, you know.
Right. Well, you know, the Army kind of helped out because they recognized pagans. Wicca is a recognized religion now.
Right.
So that helped.
That's interesting.
Yeah. The chaplains, I think, still don't quite know what to do with the Wiccans that are in the Army. They're not quite sure. And I've heard varying stories from soldiers who were like, yeah, they kept trying to convert me.
Oh, dear.
And then finally...
I understand what you are now.
Yeah.
Would you?
But can you change?
Can you not do that?
That's not good.
I get it.
That's not
good.
Yeah. I understand it's now recognized, but... Really, it's not the right path for you. And I think that's the height of arrogance, to try and decide what somebody's path should be.
Mm-hmm.
Which has always been another little problem with most religions, that they think that they have the right to make people believe any certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you leave people alone, they'll come to it. If you make it inviting and kind.
Yeah.
And teach people about it. I think perhaps honey would work better than vinegar. My mother-in-law was Lutheran. Well, I think she started Catholic. And she raised my husband and his brother Lutheran, and has returned to Catholicism. We were out at her house, and she has a DVD now explaining that the Crusades were a humanitarian mission.
Good to know.
I have trouble swallowing that one. I don't remember a whole lot of humanitarian tales about the Crusades.
What was the idea, that they were going to save who, or...
I don't know.
That's
funny. You know, but it's, you know, be saved or die.
Yeah.
It's not much of a choice. Mm-hmm. Of course, they thought it was, but yeah, I thought that was rather interesting.
Humanitarian mission.
That's a stretch.
However you want to spin it.
Yeah. I think the new Pope is amazing. Mm-hmm. I worry for his safety sometimes, but I think he's an amazing man. Still would like to see him do a little bit more for women's rights, but
yeah.
I think he's, you know, kind of blown the doors off that whole, I have to stay in a little glass box and nobody can touch me.
Right.
So I think that's huge, and trying to expose some of the corruption that exists mm-hmm. is fabulous. I love that. Mm-hmm. So I have great respect for him.
Yeah. Do you find that you get people of different, like Catholics or Lutherans yes. that come in the store?
Sure.
And what are they usually looking for? Kinds of things, I wonder.
It depends on their comfort level. Yeah. I have a gal that, her husband is a Baptist minister,
mm-hmm.
of whatever their clergy is called, that comes in and picks out different stones for her Sunday school class. I've had... several of the sisters from St. Mary's come in and get oils, essential oils, to help with massaging some of the elderly people's hands that they go and do home care for.
Mm-hmm.
Had them buy incense, really Catholic mass and a Wiccan ceremony are not all that different.
I wonder what the stones were used for at Sunday school. Just like shiny or?
No. Part of God's earth. The amazing things that come from God's earth.
Okay.
I don't.
It's a fun lesson.
I thought so. I thought it was cool. You know, and she and I had a rather spirited discussion because one of the stones she found and the description that I have sitting with it is kind of an awakening of magical sensibilities.
Which stone was that?
Labradorite.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful stone. It's kind of a... I'll go get it. It's okay. Green, and when you move it under the surface of the light, mm-hmm. it's blue. Ooh. So it's just... It's one of those things that just is absolutely amazing. The way the light catches it. And this is a sphere.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Misty. Oh,
yeah. And she put it down like it was a piece of hot coal and said, well, I, you know, can't do that. Magic. And I was like, wait a second.
Those are just the words sitting in front of it.
Yeah. It's a beautiful piece of the divine's creation. And she goes, well, you know, that magic is you believe in the devil. No, we don't even believe in a devil. There's no devil. I hate Hollywood. I cannot make anybody go scooting across the floor on their tippy toes. You know, there are people that can master using that amount of energy to move objects, but on that level, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
The whole broom riding thing, I think that was some hallucinogenic things that they, you know, herbs that they took in the Middle Ages.
Some other herbs.
Yeah. And those exist whether you're Wiccan yep. or not, mm-hmm. so. I certainly don't think that's something that we have own rights to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even do that, so.
Do you think those have a place in magic? Hallucinogenic type herbs or...
I think they do hold a place in some shamanic traditions mm-hmm. and some Native American traditions. Whether they should or not worries my conscience as a healer mm-hmm. because I don't want people to be ill. You know, I seek to try and heal people and have them live better lives and
yeah.
see them be healthier. So I think I am nervous about hallucinogenics.
Hmm.
I don't know. That one would be a hard one to answer.
Yeah. Not something that you would recommend, for instance.
No. Yeah. Oh, no. No, no. Yeah. I'm not looking at my herb jars and going, hey, you know, if you mix this and this together, you can, you know.
Yeah.
Even though I've been told that some of them do quite that, yeah. But, no, thanks.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous, but I was never one of those people that really wanted to do drugs either.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't smoke pot.
Right.
I realize I'm probably starting to become in the minority of people that, you know, like, think the pot is amazing. I think it's
going to cure you of everything.
Well, I think it probably does have some very good medicinal effects, but my husband had a rather interesting, and I think correct, question on the legalization of marijuana, just because he was a police officer for 18 years.
Okay.
And his point was, you know, medical miracle aside, how do you quantitatively decide whether somebody shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car?
Mm.
What's the test? How do you decide that? So, and I think that's a very valid point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no breathalyzer.
Right.
You know, how you determine if they had just been smoking or smoked 2 hours earlier or this morning or, you know, what have you. I mean, how do you decide whether somebody shouldn't be behind the wheel?
Mm-hmm. Aside from just smelling
it
on them, which isn't very scientific.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. So I think that's, we went to Denver. That was interesting.
What's it like? I mean,
there is a dispensary just about in some places, every other doorway. So there are a lot of people dispensing.
I see.
Quite a few people falling off sidewalks.
Yeah, I have this very sort of crazy image in my mind of just like everybody walking the streets.
In places, saw that, yeah. Not everywhere, but yeah, I saw that in quite a few places. Yeah. it does give off kind of that vibe, and yes, you can smell it.
Just, I'm sure.
So it's, but I think it's because it's new.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
You know, so it's like, oh, it's legal, so everybody can run out there.
Right, even people who wouldn't normally. Right. Are like, well, I gotta try it now.
Right, because
I can just get it.
I can just get it.
Yeah.
Just walk in, and, you know, don't have to smoke ditch weed or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about that one. But a lot of people do come in and ask if I have that herb, and I do not have that herb. nor will I have that herb.
It's in the back.
No, it isn't even in the back.
Oh, dear.
No, if I'm not proud to sell it, it isn't here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that have tried selling things here, asking me to carry their lines, and I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of picky.
Mm-hmm. How does that work? How do you sort of supply or get your supplies?
It's turned into kind of an intuition.
Okay.
And it was hit or miss a lot. At first, when I first started stocking the shelves, they were all things I liked. So it was a personal shopping trip for me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's awesome. And it's better than, you know, hoarding, because then I can just turn around and sell it.
Yes, in the store. Yeah.
So, perfect. It was perfect, you know. And now it's kind of turned into more of an intuition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I see people looking at, I watch them and ask questions and try and figure out what they like. And then I have a mental little Rolodex in my head that says, this person likes this and this person likes that. This person's always looking for this and this person.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it's evolved.
Okay.
Sometimes it still is a personal shopping trip.
I think it's got to be to some extent, just because you're not going to, even if you're trying to supply a need, you're not going to get something you don't like.
I don't have a lot of skulls.
It is 10:12.
Oh, dear. I should at least open the shop.
Okay.